of God speaking to us. So let's go to the first slide, and it's a very, most of this stuff is very obvious. So through His Word, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Something I just go back to that one. Something I was looking there for was direction. Because I don't know about you guys, but many times I want to hear from God what choices to make. Isn't it true? But I didn't find it there. What is the meaning of reproof? Correction. Yeah, it just gets more and more. Correction. Instruction in righteousness. Reproof. And something that came up when I read the scripture is, and I stand to be corrected on this one, God is more interested in how you do things than what you do. Think about your own child. We all know it is wrong from a parent to push his kid into a certain sport discipline. We all know that. And the same thing is, we would like him to choose it, but we would even more appreciate it if he does it in a disciplined way. The way he does his sport is more important than what sport he does. And I think a lot of that is true in the way in our walking with God. God is more interested in how you do it than exactly what you do. Okay. So, and I think in a way the scripture tells us that as well. He's talking about doctrine here. How do we serve God? That is all what doctrine is about. What is our faith consisting about? Then for reproof, the rest is all how you do stuff. It's all how you do it. Okay, we'll get to that thing about the decisions and the choices we have to make. I'll get to that again. I think Psalm 119 verse 105, we all know, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God's word is, I think, the most obvious thing that speaks to us. Now the question is, how many time do we spend in His word? But we can walk around for weeks and months and sometimes years asking God to show me a certain direction. We've got His word. It's a practical thing. It's easy. It's written. We can see it. The other ways in which God speaks to us, it's not visible. So we'll get to them now. But we must spend time in His word so that He can speak through His word. If we want to see wrong, we must know the right thing. I've heard a story about the guys in the bank who's counting money. The way they have to pick up, what is a forged money? Yeah. They will give them new banknotes, and they will count them for days to get the feel of them. And when he then counts the money in the bank, and there is coming through, is it forged money? When forged money is coming through, his fingers picks it up immediately because he feels it. It feels different than the right stuff. So we need to know the right thing to see the wrong. Okay. And that's why we need to spend time in the Word. I think the other thing that is true, the Holy Spirit can only recall what you have, what you've read, and what you have exposed yourself to. If you do not expose you to that scripture, he cannot recall it. He cannot bring it up. So when I'm in certain situations, the better I know the scriptures, the easier it is to get that scripture up and says, do not walk with somebody who's not of the same faith. Do not yoke unequally. He can bring it up. But if you don't know the scripture, you can't bring it. Okay. So we need to know the scriptures. The next slide is through His Holy Spirit. I think that small voice, He speak into our thoughts, in our mind. And I think we need to be humble. We all know that. I think something else that we should look into is I've heard an explanation of that God sees him and us like these ropes you buy at the co-op that you tie down the stuff on the back of the bucket. It is entwined, red and white or green and white and whatever. So the thing is, when we walk with God, we are entwined with him. So what I want to show with that is, in a way, we can trust our thoughts. If we spend time with him and the Holy Spirit speak into your thoughts, we can trust that. We must get to that point that we don't doubt everything we think. Is this now from God? We cannot be double-minded on all this stuff. Okay. So we must get to a point where we are clear. God speaks in a simple way. It's not unclear. If it's unclear, we haven't prayed enough or waited long enough. It will be clear when God, the creator of earth, speaks to you. You will know. It won't be hier mekaar. Okay. I think we shouldn't walk in fear. When we do walk in fear, we will doubt everything we think. We must get, and I think that connects to what Paul said last Sunday, we must get to a place where we are spirit thinking and not according to the flesh. And on last Sunday, I just walked out here and I just realized in I'm still serving God in such a big way in my soul and not in my spirit. Paul talked about the Bible describes all of us as body, soul, and spirit. So we consist of three parts. It shows again to the Trinity of God as well. There's a lot of similarities in that as well. When we are reborn, when we are created a new being, like John 3 verse 3 says, we are born again, we get a new spirit. And we must operate from that spirit and not from our carnal mind. And Paul wrote a lot about that when we think of the flesh, we are not with God. We've got to think in the spirit. Okay, so and I think we just our thoughts and what we experience the Holy Spirit is telling us. What can we do with it? We can check it with Scripture, and we can check it with fellow believers. Okay, so that's just two practical things you can do if you believe that this is what God told you. Go and check it to the Scripture, and also check it to the previous words you received from God. It won't be totally out of the way. It will make sense the way he's coming with you and he's walking with you. Alright. The third one I've got there is he speaks through visions and dreams. I think in Joel 2:28 there's a promise. We all know the scripture. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and old men will do some certain stuff and young men will do different stuff. And so you can go and read that in Joel 2:28. But it's see visions and dreams. I think young men will dream dreams and the old man will dream visions. Other way around. Sorry. Okay. Yeah, I'm dreaming too, so maybe my gray or something. Okay. Then, just an example of that in Acts 10:9-23, Peter was on the roof. We all know about that scripture where he sat and the blanket came down with all the unclean stuff in it. And God showed him that vision, because just after that, the Gentiles came to him and asked that he should speak into their lives. And he knew then that he can bring the word to the Gentiles as well, because at that stage they were only preaching to the Jews. Okay, and it's amazing scripture that I read it in you find the vision there, you find the Holy Spirit spoke to Peter, and the guys who was downstairs, they said a holy angel appeared to them and told them to come to Peter. And then they said, you've got a word for us. So Peter could speak into their lives. Okay, then Matthew 1, 20 and 21, we know that an angel appeared to Mary and told her that she would have the Christ. I think it's important. I'm not fully learned in this area. I do dream dreams that I don't know what to make of. But what I usually do is, if I dream something, I go and ask God, show me what it means. Show me if this is important, whether it's just my, I don't know whether one can dream in our carnal mind, just something that thoughts can come up and it actually has got nothing to do with God. I think that can happen. But go and ask God if this is specific for me and if it's relevant and what do I have to do with it. This week, Marina woke up, I can't remember what morning it was, Wednesday morning. She said, I had a dream, and she told me the dream. And it was, I never had it so clear in my life. And as she told me the dream, God spoke into my mind all the, every meaning of the of the dream. She dreamed that she was standing next to a canal, which was full of dirty water and slime and all the stuff you know that is in those canals. And in the canal was a link. The trailers of a link were standing in this canal. And there was a slipway to the left, and there was a truck coming back, and it reversed into the canal and to pull the trailers out of it. And as she told me this, I just saw that it's the world, the trailers are the world that is in this ditch, and they need to get out of there. And the church, the only way they can get out of there, God gave all authority to the church here, to us as believers. There's no other way. He's not going to wave a magic staff for something. We are His tools down here, and we need to do the job. And that is what the truck is. And if you, but what she also saw is that she and other people were standing around there. And when the truck pulled the trailers out, it turned, and as it turned, it nearly hit her and some of the other people. And then the trailers got stuck and couldn't get out. And God said to me, especially me and her, we have to be a team in this. She must be on the truck here. And so with the other believers around as well, they need to be on the truck. Otherwise, somebody can get hurt. And the second thing is, if we're not all on the truck, we're not going to get the load out of the ditch. So that's just an explanation or a way that God can speak to us. And I just knew, as she tells it, I didn't go afterwards and think about it. As she told me that the dream, I had the interpretation for that. I think sometimes also it happens that you dream something about something else, somebody else. And we don't know exactly what to do with it, because sometimes you dream that somebody else is in an accident, something. And now you don't know whether this is a warning or what should I do with this. And I think just a practical thing is, in your cell, phone a friend, phone somebody, ask him to pray with you about it for the covering of Jesus and for the safety of the people that you've dreamed about. Okay, so that's just a practical thing. Okay, the other thing is also, God speaks through other believers. And so many times we are so hungry for God to speak to us. And many times when believers come to us and speak into our lives, we take acceptance. We take exception. Okay. And you're asking God to speak into your life. And so many times He uses believers. There's so many examples of that, I don't even have to tell you. So be aware of that it is God speaking into our lives. Obviously, what comes from people around us must be in line with the Word. It must be in line with what God is busy with you. I personally believe that God will not give somebody else a complete change in direction for your life if He haven't spoken to you about it. Okay. I think it's also their safety when this happens in the body and not loss and fuss out there. Okay. When there's accountability, where there's other people that can measure the word that is coming to you in the cell between believers. Okay. So, I think one thing that we have to say to each other this morning, if we don't get to a place where we can correct each other, we are infants. We need to get to a place of maturity where we have the boldness to speak correction into your life, and that you have the humble heart to accept it and to take it and to change what is needed. We need that in the body. If we haven't got it, we are infants. We need to grow into maturity there. Okay. It is not easy to do that. So we need to hear clearly. There must be love in our hearts when we do that. But it must happen. Okay. I think what is also very important is we are many times in a place where we are trusting God to speak to other people, to me. But it's also, I think it's more important that we trust God to speak directly to us, to you. Okay, we cannot keep running around after people for a word from them. That is nonsense. We've got to trust God that He will speak directly to you, into your life, into your heart, that you know it's from God. Do not keep running around trusting somebody else. We cannot always go to Paul. Paul, what do you think? Does God say anything about this for you? God can speak to him. He can confirm something that God has spoken to you about already. But we cannot. That's Old Testament. That's gone. Jesus took away all the barriers. We can go in ourselves. All right. I think the other way that God speaks into our lives is through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. There are a diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So if we do not operate in the Spirit, we take away one of the ways God wants to speak into our lives. And we are guilty. I'm guilty as charged. We need to trust God, and even if we make mistakes, if we cannot do it here, how are we going to do it out there? There's safety here. We can check it if it's not right. But we must get to the place where we have the boldness to operate in the gifts. I don't know if one of these scriptures says it. It's given to each one. It says it. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one. Is any of us not counting under each one? Everybody is counted there. Each one of us has a gift from the Spirit. And if we do not operate in it, the body lacks. Okay. So there's basically all the gifts, all nine, God can speak through them, whether it's prophecy, a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, a tongue, whether it's healing, whatever. All of them is gifts from the Spirit, and we need them to grow into maturity, to hear the clear voice of God. We need that in our congregation. Okay, the last thing I've mentioned it earlier is God is speaking through circumstances and the visible, through His creation. That's the scripture. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His internal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And what that scripture says is, even if nobody tells us, we can see in creation and in the visible around us, even His Godhead and His internal power is showed there. We must be hungry to see that. We must open our spiritual ears. We must ask God to show us. I think all the farmers here will know, if we bend down a branch, it gets more fruitful. And it stops growing. Doesn't produce any more leaves. It produces fruit then. And that's a practical thing. If we are full of pride and upright, we won't bear the fruit. We need to bow down to God. If we don't bow down, we won't bear the fruit. It cannot come in. Okay. So there's so many practical stuff out there that shows us exactly how God works. The way we work with our children, or are supposed to work with our children, says so much about how God works towards us. Okay. So, also circumstances, we know that in my own life, I can just testify through the drought in 2003, 2004, God has spoken so much to me, has changed so much stuff in my life, and it's only because of the circumstances that I were in. God speaks through circumstances. Okay. And I think what I'm hungry for is that God will speak through circumstance, through when I'm in good circumstances. Because we need to get to bad stuff before we start listening. Before we ask God, what now? What's going on? The challenge is, when we are blessed, and when everything is going through the for event, we need to ask God, speak to me. Show me something in this. Okay. I think the last thing, it never happened to me, is the audible voice of God. I think that's Paul. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And God audibly spoke to Paul there. And also, I think another example is Moses standing at the burning bush, and he heard God speaking to him. All right. So that is another way that that God can speak to us. Okay, then I've got just a slide there with a few practical guidelines there. Maybe I've mentioned some of them already. The first one is, I haven't got a photocopy brain, you have to put them up. Okay, we've said know the word. I think we've said enough about that. We've got to know the word. Okay, the second one is, I am so guilty of this one. Get quiet. If you don't get quiet, even Jesus, when he wants to talk to his to God the Father, he went aside. He went up the mountain. He went outside in the garden. We've got to get quiet. We're living in an age or in an era where 24 hours a day, something wants to speak to you. If it's not the work, and work even takes our thoughts and our mind, even if we're not at work, it's still there. So in my case, it's work. Then, if I'm not at work, the cell phone starts. And then, I've got a wife and kids. And then TV. And the newspaper. You can just go on. And the thing is, 20 years ago, the radio, the media were not all around. It's 24 hours available to you. If you do not decide to take quiet time, it's not going to happen by itself. God wants us to switch off so that He can speak to us. We need to get this in place. We need to get quiet time. Okay. I think God speaks mostly simple and clear. It is not confusion. There's no confusion. It's not unclear. It's like a child. You're not speaking into riddles with your child. If you want to let him know something, you tell him this. This is how one does this. You will sometimes ask him a question. I think that is what I experienced this week. Sometimes we get lazy and we just want a quick answer from God. And I think that is also something that God showed me this week. As we grow in our relationship with Him, He expects more from us sometimes. It's a cheap escape to ask God, should I do this business or not? And I haven't drawn up all the plans, the business plans, and this and this. I've got to do my homework. We've got to be practical as well. Otherwise, it's just a cheap way of getting an answer, expecting God to wave His miracle staff and we know the answer and we go and do the business transaction. Do your homework. So as we grow in our relationship with God, we can expect Him to talk in a different way to us as well. Okay. I think somebody else testified one day here. He says he was walking, I think it was Rolf, 20 years with God now. And sometimes God doesn't answer his prayers. And then somebody that just came to salvation, he will pray and God will do it immediately. And he said, well, there's something wrong with me or what's going on here? And then God showed him a baby who was asking for food. And somebody who's 20 or 25. And if the baby asks, we give. But if 25 asks, he says, go and work. And there's the same change in relationship that we have with the babies. There's a change as we grow with God as well. Okay. I think this is very important. We've got to be actively waiting with expectation. We sometimes just go through life. We've got to expect. All the men here, I think, can understand the next situation. My wife, and when I get home, I normally look for the newspaper, and I sit down for half an hour going through the newspaper, and she'll be asking questions, but there will be no return. The thing is, she's asking with an expectation. She doesn't just ask a question. She's communicating with an expectation. So the same way, we should communicate with God with expectation. We want an answer. We want to communicate. We want Him to talk to us. Okay. So have an expectation. Actively wait on God. I think the other thing that goes with it is sometimes it happens that we ask God something and then for many reasons, time goes by. And the thing is, many times, we move on and we move away from what we've asked God. And when it comes into place, we're not there anymore. And then we miss it. So we need to know that when we ask God for something, we need to actively anticipate and wait for that. So that when it comes into place and when everything is in place for what you've asked for, we must still be there with God on that. Otherwise, we can miss it. Okay. As I've said, we are so full in our minds and in the world, we're just filled with stuff. It is so difficult for us to order our mind, to switch off, to stop thinking about what's going on around us. We cannot hear God like that. So, get quiet. Empty yourself from that stuff. If there's something that bugs you, finish it or write it down and put it away and say, that you know. Because many times in my life it happens that I'm bugged, but I don't know exactly what it is. And let's keep my mind busy. And what you should do is go and identify that thing that is making you, that unsettles you. Okay. So, identify it. And make an appointment when you're going to handle it. Be practical about that. And fool yourself. Pray in tongues. Put on some music. Read the Word. If it's difficult to get quiet, just open up the Word. Start reading through it. Okay, so be practical about that. If you have quiet time and you're having difficulty to order your mind. What goes with that one is number 8. Start writing down. If you have something that you want to bring to God, start writing it down. Put it out in words. Because as you write it, you order your mind. And you order the problem and what you're busy with. Put it down on paper. Okay. After you've done that, and you've started reading the Word, if the thoughts come up, and the Holy Spirit starts speaking to you, write it down. Write it down. And put it on paper. It just orders your mind, and it makes it clear exactly what I'm thinking. Because you cannot write down. Because many times, my thoughts keep jumping around. And I cannot order them and decide what am I hearing and what am I not. So start writing it down. It helps it to order that stuff. Okay. I think number 6 is so important. Be obedient. Be obedient. It's got the same root as to hear. I found myself many times and I said, God, when are you going to speak to me? And after a while he'll tell me, you've done nothing about the last thing I've told you. I've got nothing more for you until you've been obedient to what I've told you. So go back to what God has told you the last time. Sort it out, get it in place so that he can move on with you. Otherwise you keep going around the mountain and you've got to sort it out that you can go on. Israel stayed 40 years in the desert. They needed 11 days or 14 days because of disobedience. I think when God speaks, there's peace. There's peace with it. We've got to have peace when God speaks to us. And as I've said, we've got to trust that. Rather trust what you've heard and go full out for it than being double-minded all the time. Make the mistake, get it over with, repent, and try again. But stop being double-minded all the time. It's just a lack of place for Satan to work with you. And have boldness. When you've heard from God, be bold in that. I think it was about 2 weeks ago, I had a quiet time, and God just gave me, words came up in my mind, I wrote them down, and said, something is eating the new growth. I thought, what? And the next thing that came up is somebody's name. And I thought, no, I can't give this to somebody. And I didn't do it for a week. And then I decided, now I've got to be obedient to what I've heard. And I phoned the guy, I said, I don't know what it means, this is what I've heard. And he was in tears. I said, I'm sorry, I'm a week late. He said, yes, I know. And we've got to be obedient to what God says. And we've got to be bold in what God gives us. Do it. We may not understand it, but we've got to do it. Okay. And as I've said, journal. Write down the stuff. It was so good for me many times that I miss it some days. I don't do it every day. But it's so good if something happens to go back and to read. On the 28th of July, 2006, I asked God, send somebody to me. I need to plant 20 hectares. No, sorry, it was 15 hectares. 2 months later, somebody knocked at the door and says, I've got a contract. Would you want to do it? I said, yes, let's talk. Explain it to me. I said, so, what is it? No, potatoes. I said, so, how many tons do you need? No, 900 tons. How many tons does it get per hectare? He says, 60. 900 divided by 600. 60 gives you 15 hectares. And I said, no, we'll do it. And then Satan comes back and he starts messing with my mind. He says, no, this is a coincidence. It's not really happening. You're making it up. So I went back to my journal and I paged back and I wrote it down. God, send somebody to me. I need somebody to ask me for a contract to fill this 15 hectares. And then I don't have doubt anymore. And that is a building block for me for the rest of my life. And Satan cannot mess me around on that. It's fixed. It's down on paper. That's why we have this book. The guys journaled what happened to them. And we can learn from that. And then the same way God can speak to you. God doesn't change. He's the same today than yesterday. The same way you walked with Daniel, or whoever in this book, he can walk with us. Write it down. It can help you. It can help your kids. It can sort out your thoughts and the way you think. That's what I think God wants to tell us this morning. I think I've missed a scripture. Did I take it out? There's a scripture I read this week and it really challenged me. It's in Acts. And a few months ago, somebody asked me to speak to another person about his salvation, about God and everything. And I just felt, no, I'm not going to do it. I feel that it's not the time. And afterwards I thought, it cannot be according to the word, because you're wrong, it's because of fear or whatever. And then this week I read the scripture, maybe some of you know it. And this is Paul, and who was with Paul? Timothy, I think. Now then, it's in Acts 16, verse 6. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. I thought, yeah, that's the answer. But anyway, it's just something that God does speak into our mind, into our thoughts. The Holy Spirit does speak into us. And somebody will say, no, you're by yourself if you say you're not going to preach the gospel to somebody. You're not going to tell somebody. But this is, I think, the reason why God wants us to hear this message is that we should be accurate. We haven't got time to be inaccurate. And we've got to hear His voice clear and loud. We've got to be plugged in, that we know what to do, that we can bring His gospel in the right way. And I mean, that scripture just challenged me. The Holy Spirit stopped them. There's another scripture you can go on. He did it a second time in another place. Do not preach the gospel here. So we can't just go around and be cowboys and empty the six shooter. We need to aim and we need to be accurate. Let's close our eyes. Abiel, can I just get the first scripture up again, please? If there's anybody this morning that hasn't done what Isaiah 55 verse 3 says, I want to invite you, because God loves you. It says, incline your ear and come to me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. God invites us this morning, if we haven't heard His calling, if we haven't opened up the door for Him to come in, He loves us very much. His heart is that we get saved. We sang that song this morning, Our God Saves. Jesus came for no other reason to earth that we can get rid of sin and that we be saved. That is why Jesus came. Not that we have a nice and easy life. That is not why He came. Not for, only for blessing. He came to save us. And I really want to invite, if there's anybody that wants to give his life to Jesus. Matthew 16 verse 24 says, if you want to come after me, the first thing you have to do is to lay down your life. We pick up crosses. We're following church and godly stuff. And we've never laid down our life. The first thing we need to do if we want God to enter and to be part of our life, we need to lay down our life. And I just want to invite, if there's anybody, just to, as we sit with our eyes closed, just to put up his hand and we can pray together. If there's anybody who wants to lay down his life today and say to God, God, I need you. I need to come and change my life. Thank you. Thank you. We will just, we can put down their hands. Thanks. And then I want to invite everybody that we will really get a hunger for hearing God's voice. And that we will get on His terms. Ask God, what does He want you to do to hear His voice? Because many times we're just shouting out, speak to me, God, speak to me. He wants to speak to you. If He doesn't speak to you, there's a reason for that. So what we're going to do, if there's anybody who needs prayer this year this morning, I just invite you to come forward. And while we will pray with people here in front, I want you to sit down and just sort this thing out with God. Ask Him. Ask Him what's going on. Ask Him for the discipline to have a constructive quiet time. Omangus talks about going into the closet. So if there's anything anybody wants to be helped with and that we can trust God for, I invite you to come forward and we'll pray together. And while we're busy in front, I'm asking everyone just to be quiet and just to spend time with God. Ask Him to open up this thing for us. We need this. We need to sort this out urgently. If we are tired with our relationship, if we are tired in our relationship with God, there is something wrong. And sometimes I think God brings this tiredness over us because He wants to change it. He wants us to have life and He wants us to have it in abundance. There must be joy, peace, and righteousness. As we sit and start talking to God, I just want to ask everybody who wants prayer to come forward so we can pray together.